Welcome into the Full Tilt Devi podcast on the Full Tilt Podcast Network. We are proud to be sponsored by Underdog Fantasy and the Fantasy Points Media Group. And now for your hosts, Mr. John Arrington and Andy Starr.
What's up, guys? I don't know why, but I thought my mic was muted and I had to actually like check and make sure. But I'm your host, Dynasty Coach A. And as always, I'm joined by Ace Star. Andy, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
My mic is not muted this week, thankfully. I'm doing well. I'm ready to talk some people that I just absolutely can't stand as far as Devi prospects are concerned.
Absolutely. And we'll probably get into some people that we hate as well, you know, on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. I was just accused of being the fantasy receipts guy. And, you know, I'm probably not him, you know, so let's just skip all that. Like, can we cut that from the pod? We don't even need that.
We'll edit that out.
Yeah. Okay, good. So we are not here to talk about other people per se, but we are here to talk about the players that we hate. And so, it's going to be a lot of fun because I have a lot of hatred in my heart and I'm ready to get that hatred out. But first, why don't we get into some news and notes and talk about some QB changing of the guard. We have some some QBs that have fallen off, gotten hurt, whatever it is. But we have some players like Cade Klubnik, Jake Garcia, and Connor Weigman that are all players that people have gotten pretty excited about in the Devi community all offseason. There was definitely times where people were saying Cade Klubnik was going to steal his job and all that kind of stuff. I even heard a lot of Weigman talk and all that kind of as well. Actually, Jake Garcia has been talked about quite a bit as well. So I guess that's why we're talking about these three players. And I will say, I didn't watch all three games or anything like that, but just from what I saw, like, there wasn't anything amazing going on. But and I'm not even sure that 100% of this is like a changing of the guard or anything. I'm pretty sure there were some injuries involved. Hopefully Andy has some more information on that.
I do. I think the only one that was a true, you know, pull the starter was Cade Klubnik coming in for DJU. DJU was going to lose them the game against Syracuse last week. They were down at halftime based largely on what the defense was doing to DJU. Klubnik comes in, and like you said, let's be honest, he did not look great. But what he didn't do is lose them the game. DJU had three turnovers before Klubnik comes in, and Clemson staff didn't ask him to do anything once Klubnik got out there. So he only had six dropbacks in a quarter and a half of play. He only went 2 for 4 for 19 yards, so very game manager-y. He just sort of let Will Shipley and Phil Maffa pace the offense. But what it does tell you is that DJU is done at Clemson. Like, he could have stayed in and did what Klubnik did, but the coaching staff they're just over it. Too many mistakes, almost cost them their entire season in that game, basically. I mean, you lose to Syracuse, you're done. Like, all your hopes are done. You're not going to win your conference title. You're not going to the playoffs. So, yeah, as far as Klubnik's performance was concerned, not much to be excited with that game. But, you know, now he's got a full week running with the one. So I'm excited to see what he does on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. He had about a 48% completion rate, like 4.5 adjusted yards per attempt. He did throw a touchdown, no interceptions. He was safe, like you said. So, you know, it was a quarter of a game. We can't go too crazy with it, but, you know, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I thought I had seen that DJU had gotten injured, but I guess maybe I dreamt that or something. I don't know.
Maybe he did. I don't know. To me, it seemed like they just pulled him because he had just thrown an interception.
It sounds like it. He sounds like he had a terrible game. But for whatever reason, I thought I'd read that he had gotten hurt as well.
DJU did not get injured in that game on Saturday. Okay. He was 1,000% pulled after three turnovers.
Apparently, I'm dreaming about DJU. But so the next one, Jake Garcia. Now, this one, I'm like 99% sure that Tyler Van Dyke did get injured. And yes, that's why Jake Garcia came in. And once again, he did not look great. And which, I mean, to some people's dismay, because I've heard a lot of people saying Jake Garcia needs to go in there and take his job and all that. And it just, I don't know. I mean, partial game, like, we can't go too crazy with small samples, but it did not look too great.
Right. Yeah, Van Dyke wasn't doing great either. They were losing to the Blue Devils, led by Riley Leonard, my 2024. Yeah, Van Dyke wasn't QB4, by the way. Am I? Hold on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we had some feedback for some reason.
All right, sorry. Yeah, but so they're down to the Blue Devils. He gets hurt. Van Dyke hurts his shoulder. Garcia comes in, and he looked all over the place. He did have the long touchdown to Colby Young, who, by the way, is now on my wide receiver radar. He's had a couple of great games back-to-back. But he had 5 turnovers in that game. Basically took Miami out of the game single-handedly. So there hasn't been any word on the availability of Van Dyke for next week. But Coach Cristobal was already talking about Ja'Kari Brown in some interviews. So Jake Garcia might be cooked as far as I'm concerned. Not that he was super valuable right now anyway. But if he does start, he's going to need to clean it up a lot if he wants to find – otherwise, he's going to find himself in the transfer portal.
Yeah, we've obviously talked about Van Dyke, you know, pretty recently, within a few weeks, and he's done really well since then. I get that he wasn't having the greatest game, but, I mean, he – something clicked. You know, like, they were like, hey, you're going to lose your job or whatever it is, but it's like something clicked, and all of a sudden he was like, oh, maybe I should throw the ball to these wide receivers, and it was actually working. Like, he had fallen way down in the model, and he's moved right back up to where he was, like, not, like, high or anything, but, like, good enough, and I really don't think he's losing his job here. Like, Garcia did absolutely nothing for me to think that he's losing his job. In fact, it looked pretty damn terrible for him. And so, you better throw that IBWT up there from Toronto Dave, because that's in Beth We Trust, baby. And you know, Debbie Beth, my model, that's you got to trust. Big trust. And then the last one was Connor Wegman taking over. You know, I did not watch this game. I do not know exactly what happened. I looked at the stats, and once again, it did not look fantastic here.
Yeah, same situation. Well, Haynes King, shoulder injury as well against South Carolina. We talked about Wegman last week, you know, saying that Jimbo Fisher really needs to give him a shot. But he does get put in a tough situation. Like the other two QBs, like you said, didn't really do much to impress. Didn't turn the ball over. But as far as like this offense is concerned this season, I don't think anyone outside of Devin Achane is, you know, worth even talking about. I still like Evan Stewart and to an extent Chris Marshall, but it's just not going to be an exciting year for them. And now that we've seen Chris Marshall suspended indefinitely, so it's just a very ugly scene down there in College Station. And I know we've been talking about Jimbo Fisher getting fired. Some people think that because he has this ridiculous $85 million buyout that he's going to be there another year or two. I don't think it's going to happen. I think this program doesn't have patient boosters. You know, if they're forking up money to get that, you know, huge recruiting class that they did last year, I think they're going to pay that money to get Jimbo Fisher out of here. But as for Wegman, same thing with the other guys. Like, you know, we just need to see more because it wasn't really like a great performance.
Well, it wasn't, but when you look at what Haynes King has been doing, it was better than what, like, Haynes King is averaging 5.6 adjusted yards per attempt. Wegman came in and did 6.1. It's not great. It's not good, but it's better than Haynes King. I mean, this is exactly what we were talking about before, where, like, why not just put the young guy in and see what you have? Because you know King's not the guy. That's not the answer. And so just put this young guy in, see what he can do. I mean, he was right around Haynes King's numbers in his first start, you know, like that kind of thing. So I, it's not amazing looking, but I feel like this one is a lot more promising than the other two. Like, I don't know how great I feel about the other two.
No, for sure.
Speaking of not feeling great, it's starting to get really worrisome with JSN. Like, this is getting bad. And the worst part about it is, you know, we keep seeing him going out on the field and trying to play, and then, I mean, I think he played like a quarter, like not even a quarter, like 7 plays or 2. I think my buddy Anand is a big Ohio State fan, and he said that he played 2 drives, and so I'm like, well, that's not good. Like, this is the clear-cut wide receiver 1 in Devy last year, and he cannot get on the field. And meanwhile, we have Emeka Igbuka, whatever the hell you want to call him, and Marvin Harrison Jr. just bawling, and Jason can't get on the field. What do you what do you do at this point? Because it's really tough. Like, I understand that a lot of the Debbie community wants people to be like, you know, or wants to just be like, hey, you know, like nothing ever happened. He never got hurt. Like, he's still the wide receiver one and everything. But we have to be like, hey, this guy hasn't been on a field for 8 straight games. And these other guys are balling. I don't know. Like, it's not looking amazing. I'm not like shitting on the guy. I'm not saying he's going to be terrible. Like, I still love him, but I don't know if he's the wide receiver one anymore.
Right. No. And I don't think the coaching staff's really doing him any favors the way that they've been handling it. It certainly appeared like he re-injured that hamstring. Ryan Day claims it's all part of the plan to reintegrate him slowly into the offense. Which I'm not buying that, but he ran 13 routes on Saturday. He got targeted on 3 of them and only caught the 1 pass for the 7 yards. But I want him shut down until at the very least, the Michigan game at the end of the season. At this point, his value is what it is. If you keep strutting him out there at 75% for him to run 25% of the snaps, it's going to hurt his value. It already has, obviously. Like, if you feel like you need him to beat Michigan, then I think you play him. But if not, I think you sit him for that game too. Now, if they go and make the playoff, you obviously revisit it then. And of course, if he's healthy, you have to play him. But what they're doing right now benefits nobody. So I just want him to end the mess. Julian Fleming, who, you know, he's kind of the butt of a lot of Debbie jokes. He's been playing well enough. I think you just rest JSN until you need him.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, I don't think we need to see JSN anymore. Like, he is what he is at this point. Like, he's probably still going to be picked in the first round of the NFL draft, and then no one's going to care what happened this year. You know, just like with Ja'Marr Chase and you know, other guys that have done it the same way. But I think that they don't need JSN. Like, JSN is definitely nice to have, but they have Julian Fleming. They have Jaden Ballard. Like, they have these players that can fill in and, you know, go out there and be good enough on top of Emeka Egbuka and Marvin Harrison Jr., which is more than most teams already have.
Is there an outside chance for Debbie players that JSN decides to go back? If his advisors tell him that his stock has dripped at all? Just curious, because I know that's been a question.
By the way, Tommy T's here, but I don't think so. I mean, I it's a good question, but I don't think there's any way. You know, like, I'm sure people were asking the same thing about Ja'Marr Chase when he opted out, like, for the entire season. Like, oh, is he going to come back? Dude put up, like, 1,800 yards and 20 touchdowns. Like, he's not coming back. JSN did what he did last year, and then we saw what Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave did in the combine, have done so far, you know, in their rookie years. Like, to me, there's no way JSN is going back to school.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a first round pick no matter what. So if he goes back, you know, maybe he becomes a top 10 pick, but he might as well just go at this point. He's a first round pick.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's always the chance that he could Olave and, you know, still become a top 10 pick, but I don't think that it's going to be an issue. I think as long as he can show that he's healthy at the combine, that would be the big difference. But I mean, it's a freaking hamstring. Like, he should be healthy by the combine. If he's not, then we have some major, major problems.
For sure.
But why don't we go ahead and take a quick break, and then we will get into the hate.
He's on the hunt. Over the last 2 weeks, this player has seen his production skyrocket because the team is relying on him, and so are your fantasy football teams. Josh Jacobs this week is rolling in with the last 2 games against Kansas City and Denver, 2 decent defenses, having over 80% of the snap share. He is touching the ball frequently. His last 3 games, he has 5 targets, 6 targets, 6 targets. He's caught 5 passes in each one of those games. He is eclipsing well over 100 yards per game over his last 3 games, which coincides with them taking Brandon Bolden and going, don't worry, the big boy's here now. So Josh Jacobs is walking into that huddle with his budgie smuggler and taking over.
Jacobs is having a hell of a year, and you Gotta love the Budgie Smugglers for sure.
I'd like to point out that not only did he wear his Budgie Smuggler to the game, I called top three. He finished top tier. So
yeah, dude, he had a hell of a game. I mean, he just looks unstoppable out there right now. It's pretty wild.
He's carrying my team in Scott Fishbowl right now.
Oh man, top, I love top to see 100. It. The funny thing is, I was always like, I guess in the middle with Josh Jacobs, and people were like, oh, you're too high on him. You're too high on him. And then other people, like, oh, you're too low on him. And I was kind of in the middle, and I have him nowhere because of it. And I'm just kind of like, well, shit, I wish I had some Josh Jacobs. Like, I guess I should have been a little stronger within my convictions, because I didn't hate him by any means. I just didn't love him. But we are here to talk about the players that we do hate. But first, why don't we talk about our friends at Underdog Fantasy? Normally, I go into the whole spiel about, you know, like, do your team and everything, but we have the Thomas Tipple here, and I know he wants to talk about some pick-ems. So, Tommy T, do you have something for us here?
So, Tommy T took a step out for a second.
Oh, no! I can't see that. With the
pick-ems, I mean, every single week, you go in, $5, make three bets, win $30. It is that easy. And you know what? We're going to make it even easier. Use our promo code Full Tilt, all caps, Full Tilt, just like what you're watching right now. And Underdog will match up to $100 upon your first deposit. Super easy way for you to get some free money, make that back, and just keep rolling in it. And whenever it comes time for all of our other sports that we love so much starting up, we got basketball right now, World Series going on. It's so easy. Use promo code Full Tilt.
John loves baseball. Ask John baseball questions. Win your money in pick'em baseball. Just ask John.
No, I love Lucas for saving my ass there, because I had no idea that Tommy T had stepped away. But what I hate are some of these terrible players that people love for some goddamn reason. They love Will Levis. Man, like, apparently, it's not just like Devy players here. I mean, we're talking about scouts. We're talking about, I mean, Peyton just Manning. Like, hey, Peyton Manning. We're talking about like just random people off the streets going, Will Levis, he's amazing. What has he done? I don't understand. Like, when did he, is it just that this class is so top heavy that people are like, we have to pick a third, and somehow it became Will Levis?
I mean, that's a good theory, but here, I got a question for you. Excuse me, a question for you. Who was the last first-round quarterback to have never posted a QBR of at least 80 in at least one college season?
I'm going to guess a very long time, if ever.
It wasn't too long ago, but the last one was Jordan Love.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Never mind.
and then before that was Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I was going to say Daniel Jones.
And then before that was Josh Allen. Whose accuracy concerns true. Were evident.
But don't ever compare people to Josh Allen. Ever, ever, ever.
And two that's out of what those I'm trying to get at. QB1s this year, just saying.
So Josh Allen. So I think I finally figured out why everyone loves Will Levis. And if you look at the profiles with him and Josh Allen, they're very close to identical. Will Levis actually, you know, probably have the edge in the accuracy department. He definitely does. So I think that people actually think that he's going to be Josh Allen. It worked for Josh Allen. He's this big 6'3", 6'4", 240-pound quarterback. And I think they just think Will Levis fits that archetype of this guy who's big. He's got the rushing upside. But to me, that's such a huge gamble, and I feel sorry for whatever franchise buys that lotto ticket thinking that that's going to happen. In my mind, he doesn't set himself apart from any of these other QBs in the 23 class. He does things all right. You know, I'm going to be watching intently on Saturday when they take on Lucas's Volunteers, because I think that game is going to have extreme draft implications. You know, Hendon Hooker versus Will Levis. It's basically what everyone's arguing right now in our draft community.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, the biggest thing for me is the interception rate. And, you know, I've talked about it in the past before, but like your top guys, CJ Stroud, 1.5%, Bryce Young, 1%, Drake May, 1.3%. Caleb Williams, 1.2%. Hendon Hooker, 0.9%. Grayson McCall, 1.1%. Will Rogers, 1.4%. Yada, yada, yada. Will Levis, 3.5% interception rate. That might not sound that different. Like, it's only two, that's only two points, but like, that's a huge difference. Like, when you're talking about the amount of interceptions and everything, like, anything over the 3% range is like wild in college football, because college football is easier. So it's not like you're going to move to the NFL and all of a sudden you're going, oh, nope, I'm all done with those interceptions there, guys. Like, it's only going to get worse. And then you're talking about him being like mobile and like able to run. He's closer to like Talia Tungavailoa as far as like yards per carry and stuff like that than he is to like a Jaden Daniels or someone like rushing like that, like with true rushing ability, Anthony Richardson, whoever. JJ McCarthy at 5.3 yards per carry. Talia Tungavailoa at 2.3. Will Levis, 3.4. Like, he's right there in the middle. He's not like amazing. Like, I'm sure he's mobile. Like, he can move in the pocket. That's great. Like, we want to see that, but he's not a rushing QB. Like, that's not anything that we love to see. The adjusted yards per attempt are good, not great. And it doesn't make any sense to me, like, why he is where he is. And in fact, I'm hoping that I'm wrong with his QBR here, because if his QBR is as low as that I'm seeing in the model, then that is going to be a problem. But I'm going to go ahead and assume that he doesn't.
What do you have it at? I think it's like 65.
I have a 66.8% or a 66.8 QBR. So I guess that's
that's right.
Is accurate then. Okay. So yeah.
I think it's less than that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I have. And it is, that is bad. That is very, very bad. So, yeah, he is not a first-round QB. I don't know why people are expecting him to be. And even if he is, he is definitely not Josh Allen. And it's going to take the right team to invest in him, give him 5 years like they did with Daniel Jones to even get, like, a decent season out of him. So that is not what you want to draft in the first round of your rookie drafts. So I do not understand why people love Will Levis. And in fact, I would go as far to say that I hate Will Levis.
I think people squint at their eyes too much to see Josh Allen. They just need to open it up just a little bit and they will see Daniel Jones, because he fits so much of the same profile of a quote unquote pro style offense. He has a very respected offensive coordinator in Rick's, I'm going to mess up this name, but Rich Scangarello, who was quarterback coach for the 49ers. He was offensive coordinator for the Broncos for a little while there. I mean, he's coming from a program that people really respect what they're doing right now. I hate to say that. It sounded very sour coming out of my mouth talking about Kentucky. But he reminds me so much of another quarterback who came from a blue basketball school in Daniel Jones. You wouldn't spend a first round rookie pick on Daniel Jones. Don't do the same with Will Levis.
I won't.
I definitely agree there. I really think, like, people probably don't focus on interception rate as much as I do. And I, like, it's not the end all be all in the NFL, but I feel like in college it's a pretty telling stat. And that 3.5% is just wild. There's no one else. Like, he's up there in my top 20, QBs because of all the stats that he's put up and everything. But like, he just, when you have that interception rate, it's pretty wild. Like, the chances of you being a good QB at that point and not being just completely turnover prone, whatever you want to call it, are just pretty wild.
Absolutely.
All right. So the next one we've talked about, go ahead.
Going. We have an incoming question right now from the chat. Redraft, should I trade Pittman for Najee and Goddard in a deep PPR league 16-man? My starting tight end is Taysom Hill, and I'm 3-4. My wide receivers are Juju and Chase. My RBs are Pierce and Damian Harris. I want the host's reaction to this. Remember, Matt Ryan benched.
That's correct. Najee should also be benched, but I mean, it's kind of tough here because you have the whole, like, you have the brand new QB and Sam Ellinger that, like, we have no idea what he's going to do, but sometimes they can hyper target the one wider, like the top wide receiver. And so we could see that to where he just goes wild and just throws it to Pittman 15 times a game. And then it would look bad if you were to trade him away, but we definitely can't guarantee that. And I do not think Ellinger is a good QB. But Najee's just been terrible this year. Like, the whole team, that offense is garbage. And Goddard hasn't really done anything like overly amazing either. I think that when it's all said and done, you're probably better off making the trade, but, like, I don't feel amazing about any of these players really.
Yeah. I don't like the trade for either side either. Generally, my rule in redraft is if you're doing a 2-for-1 trade, you want to be on the side that gets the one player, because that generally means you're increasing your weekly total points. Unless you have like a actual need, like, you know, you need a tight end because you don't have one and there's not any replacement level player in the waivers. But I would take the Pittman side and, you know, just sort of hope that the production doesn't drop with Ellinger too much.
Yeah, now I will say one caveat there. It is a 16 teamer, so like depth and you know, things like that do matter in a 16 teamer more than like a normal 12 teamer and stuff like that. So that might make me lean the other side. You know, if a lot of times we're thinking 12 team leagues and that kind of thing. So we probably spent a little too much time on that, but you know, I'm going to go ahead and say take the trade, get Dallas Goedert, you know, and go win your league there, buddy.
That way you can stop playing Damian Harris. All right. Carry on.
That's the only reason why Tommy T brought this up, so he could say that he hates Damian Harris.
Keeping with the spirit of the show.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Yeah, we're right there. Speaking of hate, Tank Bigsby. Why do people love this player, and why does it make me hate them so very much?
I get so angry every time I see rankings where he's like top five. I want to say things, but I like the people that are posting about it. So I'm like, I don't want to start anything right now, but I'll just say it here. I can't believe we're still talking about him. Ironically, he played a pretty decent game after the last time we shit on him. He took Ole Miss for 180 yards and a couple touchdowns, but that's one game this season against a quality opponent where he ran for more than 52 yards. The receiving chops are not there. He's got less than 1 yard per route run. Pass blocking is below average. He's a plotter at his absolute ceiling. He has the Jordan Howard career arc written all over him. Again, as his ceiling, I tweeted earlier today, their yards per team play graph from the Campus to Canton metric tool lines up perfectly. Some might argue that his reception market share has gone up this year. That's only because Auburn's dump-off rate has gone way up this year. If you look at his reception yard market share, it hasn't improved at all since last year. So I don't think he goes pro still, honestly. If he does, I'll be completely out on him. But I think he either needs to stay another year or transfer and just be like Alabama's running back next year. But that's probably not going to happen. But it's bad for me and Tank Bigsby.
Ditto. That's all I can really say. I don't get it. I don't understand it. People are blaming the Auburn offense. That's why Tank is so bad. Like, they're the only offense in college football that's bad. You know, like that's it. Like, there's no other offenses that are hurting their running back. No, it's only Tank. Like, he could possibly get drafted. Like, it could happen. I'm not saying that it's impossible, I really feel like it's the whole Zamir White, Isaiah Spiller, like that kind of thing where these guys get hyped from like their year one production and then they just never live up to it. And, you know, we see those two players in the NFL and we're like, well, where are they? Well, they're backups, you know, like they're not good. And I don't know that Tank will be that bad. Like, I still have him in like a decent range, but people love him, and so I feel like I have to hate him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think he's definitely going to be in the NFL. like, he's going to get drafted. Right. he's got the numbers. He's in the SEC. It's just a matter of, is he going to be successful in the NFL? And if he is, it's like I said, it's going to be that Jordan Howard career arc where he has like two really great seasons where he just gets volume carries, and then you know, the treads off the tires, and then he's nothing.
He has a worse profile than Kerryon Johnson.
I mean, well, to be fair, Kerryon, like, he was more hurt by his knee or knees, right, or whatever than anything else. Like, he was a decent player.
He could have been great.
Yeah, he could have been good at least. But I mean, the thing is, like, he's never surpassed 1,100 yards, and you know, in college football, like, as a running back, like, that's not amazing. His receiving profile isn't insane or anything like that. Like, it's decent. I just, his size is not ideal. It's fine. Like, I'm not going to hate on him for it or anything like that, but he could probably gain 5 pounds before the combine and, you know, be sitting there around like 215 or whatever. But I'm like, there's nothing screams stud, and yet people are like, we got to draft Big Fix. It makes me like, I just don't get it.
It's the name. It's such a cool name.
It is. Like it's such a
top tier name.
It is a top tier name. And if you ever want to get yelled at by a father for typing a name on Twitter, it'll be because you typed the name Kendall Milton and wrote anything bad about him on Twitter, because father will go after you.
He finds
every
it, huh?
single time. Oh, my buddy Levi Valentine posted he was doing Devy profiles at the time, like, you know, like lesser known players and stuff like that, or you know, just random players, whatever it was, and he was doing Kendall Milton, and he posted a 40 time from like high school or 24/7 sports, like somewhere, like maybe not verified, but like somewhere like trustable, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he posted it, and the father goes, that's from this and this and that. Like, it starts yelling at him, like, that's not the right 40 time. And we're just like, okay, dude, like, calm down. But man, it's not just his dad. The hype has been insane, and people still talk about Kendall Milton, and yet the dude has never done a damn thing. I don't understand it. People, the only thing I can get is that he's a Georgia back, and people are like, oh, well, they always get drafted. Well, look at the last two that got drafted. Like, that how great has that worked out?
And that is exactly what somebody posted earlier this week. This is why I threw him on here. Somebody from Dynasty Nerds put him in their top five or six, I want to say, ahead of guys like Blake Corum, Kendre Miller, Zach Charbonnet, and Chase Brown, who I know you don't like, but I think Chase Brown's better than Kendall Milton. And they just say, oh, well, he's got the Georgia name. I think, you know, they're going to get drafted to the NFL just because he's a Georgia running back. And that's not analysis. Like, this is unreal take lock that's gone on for Milton for over 3 years now. It might be injury related, but we can't give him a pass into the NFL without any production. The best ability is availability, and he's never had that. He's never had a yards per team play over one. He's never had a reception market share of even 2.5%. I don't know what we're expecting this guy to do in the NFL. He's been outplayed at Georgia by James Cook, Kenny McIntosh, Zamir White. Again, I mean, I think this guy, he needs to transfer if he wants to even resurrect any sort of value, because at this point, Branson Robinson and Andrew Paul are coming up behind him. He's not going to get to play at Georgia. If he declares for the draft, I'm out on him. I don't think he might not get drafted.
He's so low for me. It's wild. And not nearly the amount of hatred, but like right there, just because everyone loves him because he's Georgia back and all that. Kenny McIntosh, like, I'm out. Like, I'm just out. It's James Cook all over again, and I'm out. I don't want anything to do with him. I get that he's decent. I get that he has a receiving profile and all that. But like, I just feel like once again, it's going to be the Georgia back. He's going to be amazing, that kind of thing. And I want nothing to do with it. Like, I'm going to be lower on Kenny McIntosh than I will be, you know, or than everyone else will be, I should say.
You don't like Kenny McIntosh?
I'm just lower on him than everyone else. Like,
I'm perfectly fine missing on Kenny McIntosh, but
with all of the running backs that we have in this class, like, I'm perfectly fine messing on him.
I know. That's the thing. Like, he's right there in that middle tier where, you know, you could have easily hit or miss on any of them. But he does have that nice receiving profile.
He does. Kendall Milton is awful. it's not amazing though. Like the receiving profile is not insane or anything. Like, or you go it's not like Alvin Kamara, you know, like where you go, oh, well, like, yeah, he didn't run for much, but like, look at that receiving profile. Like, it's not to that extent or anything like that, where you have to go look at this guy. I mean, right. I guess if some team is like, oh, we're going to draft him in the early second round or something, like maybe that's different. But I, once again, not to the extent of Kendall Milton, like I'm right. not that out, but I'm kind of out on both of these players.
I understand that these are two completely different backs, but the way that their names get resonated throughout Devi kind of rings true to me. And that's Kendall Milton and Master Teague. A couple of years ago out of Ohio State, it just somebody who was fine, wasn't great, but was at Ohio State, generated a lot of hype, and then ended up going undrafted. So
I mean, at least Master Teague put down like a 900 yard season, and then he had an Achilles injury. So like, I mean, it is similar, but at least Master Teague was decent at one point. Kendall Milton.
Yeah, I mean, Milton's never done a damn thing at a running school, like a school that wants to run the hell out of the ball. And I mean, and like you said, Branson Robinson and Andrew Paul, like Paul would be dominating right now if it wasn't for a torn ACL, I think it was.
Right.
I mean, it would just be wild. Speaking of wild, people were pretty wild about Rakim Jarrett for the longest time and maybe even still. And it's never, ever, ever come to fruition.
It's gotten worse. And I promise I didn't put him on here to make fun of you, John, because I think you had him as like a guy you liked in the Big Ten earlier this year. But
no, I've always been the Dante Davis guy.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right. All right. Yep. I was with you on that.
Yeah, no. Fuck Rakim Jarrett. I'm sorry.
I don't know who was in on Rakim Jarrett, but yeah. This year, his yards per team pass attempt has actually dropped to a measly 1.32. Yards per route run is under 2. He's been outgained by their tight end Dykes. He's been overshadowed from a receiving standpoint by Florida transfer Jacob Copeland, who offers more big play ability, I'd say. And then they have Roman Hemby, the sophomore running back, who's been a legitimate receiving threat too. So they just really haven't needed him. And you would expect a 5-star recruit who comes to a school like that to just sort of take over the room and at least post like a 30% market share. But he's barely eclipsed 20% in his best season. And that was last year when like Demas got hurt, a few other guys got hurt. And for the cost that people were paying for him, even this offseason, it's just a massive disappointment. Because it's not like Maryland, you know, isn't throwing the ball a ton either. Talia has been thrown for at least 270 yards in 5 of the 7 games he started. Jarrett just isn't getting any looks. So, I'm still seeing lists with him as a top 10 wide receiver. I'm out on him. I think he has to stay another year. He's gotten worse this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, he had the second good year mostly because Damus got hurt. Like, I feel like, you know, if he doesn't ever get hurt, then do we ever see that kind of season from Jarrett? But, I mean, he's just falling off hard. I don't hate him, per se. Like, he's still, like, a decent wide receiver for me compared to, like, you know, other players that are being hyped. But at the same time, I'm just like, he's not amazing. If he wants to get like good draft capital, I would assume that he will stay another year. So I like the pick. I mean, he's fallen off hard. But you mentioned the running back. What was his name?
Hemby. Hemby.
Dude, Hemby's standing out.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't talk about him right now. Like, yeah, he is standing out. I just want to make it very clear that I'm in on Roman Hemby right now. Like October 26th, 2022, I'm in on Roman Hemby because, like, dude is looking good.
No, I just waiver claimed him on every C2C league I have because this is, like, the waiver weeks in a lot of them. I got him everywhere. I think I got outbid on one, but I got Riley Leonard, so I was all right with it.
Oh, there you go. How did Leonard look in the game this week? Because I know we had talked about the game, but I didn't actually look at what he did.
It wasn't that. I mean, the touchdowns were there on the ground, but it was like 50% completion. It wasn't like great, but
didn't he have like two rushing touchdowns?
Yeah,
yeah, Yeah, that's right. I remember seeing it. I think I looked it up like on that day, and then I completely forgot, or I drank it away. One of the two. But I
he
did get the dub. Is looking decent. I mean, those rushing touchdowns do make a difference. But is there anyone else that we truly hate? I mean, obviously we hate a lot of players. We hate Anthony Richardson, but we talk about him all the time. Do we really need to talk about why he's so terrible and why everyone loves him for some reason? Like, oh, we get it. He's big and fast. Like, oh no.
I think that we have established it, and I think that a lot of people have come to terms that he's probably not going to be coming out in the NFL this year.
Not everyone, though. Like, I still hear people talking about him. Or the new thing is, oh, well, he's going to be the 101 for next year, for 2024. Oh, okay, so he's going to get that much better in another year. Like, is it impossible? No. Is it likely? No.
And that's like how big of an insult is that to Caleb Williams and Quinn Ewers to just say, like, oh, right, come out and just be better than these guys who are, like, generational prospects, you know? It's ridiculous.
Are we before... at all concerned about Quinn Ewers?
I was just about to say.
But, man, I know he's only actually played in, what, 4 games in his whole career so far in college? Right. But...
About to say that we don't hate him by any means, but man, that was a rough game. That was a rough looking game. He dropped quite a bit in the model just from that one game. And I mean, it's a small sample. Like, he's only played 4 games, so of course he's going to drop on a 25% differential there. But like, yeah, what do you think of that one game? Did that change your mind at all, or are you still all in?
No, it didn't change my mind. He's got the game against Alabama. He's got a few other games where he looked amazing. You know, you play a 12-game season, you're going to have bad games every now and again. So it happened against Oklahoma State, which isn't very great. But, you know, I mean, you go 19 for 49, that's rough to see. But we'll see if he bounces back. I'm not – of course, you know, no, you'd be out of your mind if you just said, like, oh, I'm out on Quinn Ewers right now because of that one game.
I agree with that. Like, I'm not out by any means, but like he was definitely moving up into that top tier. I never had him in that top tier like people wanted him to be, or at least some people, but he's dropped from that and not already being in the top tier. So like I'm not out. He's fine. Like, he's still in that like playable, you know, like draftable kind of player, but I need to see a bounce back here or else it's going to be not great. Now, I will say, compared to his counterpart that, you know, when he was out, like, he is helping the Xavier Worthies, the Tavian Sanders, like, he's actually helping those players more, like, by hitting them. But man, that was a rough game.
Yeah, and it's games like that, because I've got him and Caleb Williams is sort of like neck and neck. So like, I have a game like that, I'm like, okay, well, now Caleb Williams is like ahead by a little bit, but they're like so close for me right now that it doesn't really matter.
And I think that's the good thing. Like, you can see a good Debbie analyst when they say something like that. Like, it's constantly moving. It's constantly shifting. Like, it shouldn't be, oh, I love Quinn Ewers, he's here. Like, right. No, it should be, he had a great, Caleb had a great game, he's going to move ahead. Right. Quinn had a crappy game, he's going to move down, like that kind of thing. And it should be that way for the rest of their careers, because we only have, what, 36 games total, maybe, if they actually start all 36 games before, like, they're technically supposed to go to, you know, to the NFL. Like, that doesn't give us a lot of time to really figure out who these players are and all that kind of stuff. So we have to take every single game. But for now, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll get into the Week 9 predictions.
I don't necessarily have any concerns about what he'll be when he gets fully healthy. It's just, do we want to store all that value in this player in the meantime? Because I guess that's my concern. Like, if I want to wait until 2024 to get paid off on that investment, I'd rather trade Hall for like a 24 first and whatever, and a bunch of other things that I can get with a 24 first. And then if I'm going to store that much value in a player, I kind of just want them to score points for me, I guess. And that's my concern. Like, Hall's not going to be a value this year. And then next year, he's probably going to be playing, but he's probably not going to provide the same types of value of a replacement we were expecting him to. And I guess that's why I'd rather sell, in the sense that I just don't know that I'm going to have to feel the pain of of losing him for a while. And if I'm going to hold that much value in a player, I really just want that production.
I honestly was not paying attention to that one because I was being asked a trade question off air as we were listening to that. But Andy, do you have any rebuttal to what they said?
I'll be honest. I was getting yelled at by...
I will answer that one then. About Breece Hall. I understand not wanting to wait to see return on that investment when you can get a lot more stuff that you'd be holding for in the future anyway. So I can see it, but also it's Breece Hall, so that's really tough to sell right now. Yeah,
that's so tough. A lot of people are saying sell high, sell high, sell high, but the problem is that people are giving you lowball offers. I don't know if you can sell high right now. Like it's amazing it's Breece, but like I feel like people learn their lesson from like the Saquon Barkley trades and stuff like that, you know, because I saw Saquon get traded for like JT Plus when he tore his ACL. And people are like, oh, yeah, I'm not doing that again. So I don't know that you're getting that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah, it's tough with injuries like that. But if you're in a contender and you had Breece Hall, I feel like he might want to make one of those moves, you know, one of those losing trades just to.
Yeah, losing trades fine. But like, I just, there has to be a line set, you know, like you can't lose too much when you're talking about a player like Breece. Like we saw, he's a stud. But speaking of studs, us. Talking about week 9 or our week 8 predictions. Just you? Did I lose?
I think honestly you lost.
Don't even remember. Yeah, I don't even remember what I picked. But like,
you let's picked just Mississippi assume that I State. Win. All
right. Oh yeah, I did. That's right. But I mean, they lost by 4 touchdowns. I said they wouldn't lose by 3. I wasn't that far off. You know? Come on.
No. Okay. Well, Vegas doesn't look at it like that. They still take their money.
They do. I've actually found that out over time.
But I nailed. I knew. I thought it was a trap game, but I still bet it anyway, and Syracuse won thanks to DJU putting up one of the worst games of his life. And I'll take the win there, get back on the winning train. But this week, I'm looking at potentially the worst game of the week, maybe of the whole college football season, and that is Northwestern at Iowa. The total of the game currently sits at 37.5, with Iowa being an 11.5-point favorite. I have to believe that Northwestern doesn't even score a point on this Hawkeye defense. So that means Iowa would need to score 38 points to hit the over. And I just don't think that there's a chance in hell that the offense can score 38 points. So this may be another trap game. Two bad offensive teams can sometimes catch fire and score like 50 points. But let me take the under at 37.5, which is super low total. But if I have to take a bet against the spread, I would take Iowa at home minus 11.5. But I really can't imagine this game ending with either team scoring 20 points.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that one. But like, the only thing I hate betting like huge lines. You know, it always feels so random and everything. Like I can't possibly, like, something could go wrong, like that kind of thing. And so that'd be the only issue that I have with it. But you know, I'm looking at like a Utah versus Washington State, you know, wondering at plus 7 for or minus 7 for Utah, I mean, I should say, like that team's so much better than Washington State. Like, why are we only at minus 7? I don't get it. And, you know, like, you guys have figured out at this point, like, I don't go wild into, like, researching bets and that kind of thing, so don't listen to me. But that game feels off. It just doesn't feel right.
My only concern with that game is just how bad Utah's defense is. And Cam Ward might just do, like, some FCS magic and throw, like, for 350 yards, but...
It's not like Cam Ward's been great, though.
No. Maybe he finds it this week.
We're this is the week. what are we, week 9? Like week 9 or right. Whatever it is. That's when it's going to, week 9. That's when it's going to happen. Cam Ward, the stud.
Nice. I hope so.
Can we talk about Cam Ward as a player that we hate? Because
I do. I hate what he did to me.
People are so wild about, like, oh, he's coming from the FCS, he's gonna be amazing. And like, I always said it was just the, come on guys, like, how often does that actually happen where they just come over and they're amazing?
Is Bailey Zappe? It was the Bailey Zappe formula.
You're Bailey Zappe is the Josh Allen of college football.
Like, I know.
You looked at one guy and you're like, well, see that guy? Yep. That's why I'm going to go ahead and make this. And yeah, we can't do that. But I mean, I don't even know how high you were on him, but there were some people that were talking about like top five QB and stuff like that. Like, I don't think you were that high, right?
No, if you were, I had
then,
him.
The money shut the whole pod down.
I had him in the top 10 though, for sure. Not top five. I think I had him like at 8 or 9, but still way too high.
I mean, top 10 is like, I would have never done that, you know, as as the best co-host, but like, I, you know, but at the same time, I guess I can understand, like, top 10 isn't like wild, that wild.
No, I mean, it was speculative. I was just trying to get ahead of the curve a little bit.
All right, so who are you watching this week?
So I put Jake Garcia on the sheet because I want to see some more out of that quarterback room. It doesn't look like Tyler Van Dyke's going to play, and he was just so bad, you know. For me, I feel like I'm out on Jake Garcia, but if he's bad again, you know, then we'll probably see Ja'Kari Brown, which I'm going to be interested in, because, you know, you get a freshman four-star quarterback coming to play at a Power 5 school, you obviously have to pay attention. So if Jake Garcia plays bad, I want to see Ja'Kari Brown. And that's kind of why I threw him on here.
I like it. I mean, I don't believe in Jake Garcia, so like, I kind of am right there with you. I just want to see him. I don't ever want to see somebody fail, per se, but like, right. I don't want to see him succeed. So another player we hate.
But, yes.
So my player is a little controversial, if you will, but like, the player I want to watch is Marvin Harrison Jr. because people have him as the wide receiver one in the 2024 class, or even Devy overall in some cases. And don't get me wrong, I like the player. Like, he's very high up in my ranks, for sure. But, like, I feel like his own teammate is outproducing him on his own team. So how can you sit there and say that he's the wide receiver one? But we're going up against a decent, you know, team in Penn State and everything. So, like, at least a ranked team, but, you know, but at the very least, should be a pretty good game. Obviously, I would expect Ohio State to win. But I just kind of want to watch Marvin Harrison Jr. there and just see, like, is he that good? Because I've yet to actually, like, truly focus on him. I've watched him in some games, but, like, I haven't really focused. And he hasn't, like, blown up in the games that I've watched. And then the games that I don't watch, you know, he has, like, 150 yards and 3 TDs. And I'm like, well, where were you last game where I actually tried to watch you? So I'm looking for a big game for Marvin Harrison Jr. because if people want him to be the Devy wide receiver one, I need to see the Devy wide receiver one out of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm there with you. I think between him and Emeka Egbuka, it's kind of the same thing with Ewers and Caleb Williams. It's like, you know, if you want to argue one over the other, then I'm fine with it. I will say Troy Franklin from Oregon, who I talked about in the Devy recap, if you guys want to check that out, comes out every Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday.
I've heard of that show.
Yeah,
I've seen it. It's actually really good.
It's only like 4 minutes long. You can just knock it out while you're making your coffee. But Troy Franklin has been playing really well this season. If you want to talk about guys that are in the 2024 class that are climbing, I think he's right up there with those Ohio State guys.
I do not have him in that tier just yet. Like, he is moving up though. Like,
so I have the Ohio State guys and Xavier Worthy as like my tier 1A. And then I think I'd put Troy Franklin in like a tier 1B ahead of everybody else.
I don't hate it.
Or just put him at tier 2 by himself.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I would definitely put him more of like a tier 2 than a 1B. I don't think he's, at least as of right now, obviously, like, we've seen crazier things happen, Jameson Williams and whatnot, but I'm not ready to have him in that tier 1 just yet. Like, those guys are just dominating. And when you have two guys like Emeka Egbuka and and Marvin Harrison Jr., and they're dominating together, then that just shows how amazing they are. Like, I get that the offense is obviously great and all that kind of stuff, but once again, going back to Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, like, we see what these this team is pumping out, and the fact that JSN's not there and they're still just doing everything that they were doing, like, they didn't skip a beat from last year, shows me that these two guys are special. And I don't know if Troy Franklin is special. Like, he's good. I don't know if he's special.
He's good. I'll agree with that.
He is good. Speaking of good, we have a lot of good football to watch this weekend, and hopefully we have some good players to talk about next week, because we only talked about shitty players this time. But like, let's go ahead and get out of here. It was a great time. I appreciate you, Andy, Lucas, Tommy T, everybody that contributed. Thank you so much for listening to all of you guys. But I don't know. I don't even know if Tommy T is still here. But does anybody have anything to say?
He's at the casino. He left.
He's at the casino. Okay. Cool. Does anybody have anything to say before we get out of here?
Man, we are in week freaking 9. College football playoff rankings come out, I believe, next Tuesday, I think. I think I'm right. I know they come out before Tennessee plays Georgia. And man, I am excited. We're going to see what happens, but can't look past Kentucky this weekend. So I gotta say, it's very fun to do a Devi show when your college football team's actually playing well. That brings joy to my life every single day. So I'm very happy right now. As always, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Go to our YouTube page. It's just YouTube and then / the Full Tilt Dynasty Pod. Very easy to find us. Look for us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Leave reviews. Say how much you love our show, our beautiful faces, how you wish that there were even more beards from the other guys. I mean, put all of that stuff in there. Yeah, it was absolutely great spending my Wednesday night with you all. A quick question before we go out, because I just want to know, because somebody's still new to us. Whenever you're, I know it's early, high school football, we have recruiting starting to really heat up. How much do you all weigh players' weight in, like, athletic measurements coming in into your projections?
High school players? Mm-hmm. So the only high school weights I care about are running backs, and it needs to be 195 pounds. Anything less than that, I mean, it's not going to happen for me. Now, there's exceptions, but if I'm looking at just a high school running back in general, I'm out on them until, you know, unless they're 195 pounds. You know, that can change, obviously, but from a freshman standpoint, that's where I'm at.
195 seems a little high coming out of high school. Like, and don't get me wrong, like, I would love for every player to be 195, but I mean, we see guys like Jahmyr Gibbs at 205 now, you know, like, coming out, we're probably expecting him to be right around 205. You know, Tank Bigsby, the greatest player of all time, is 208 pounds. So, like, 195 seems a little small. I would like all the players, but, like, I feel like you should at least keep players on the radar if they're around, like, 185, 190, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, I think big wide receiver guy and Solving Football did some analytics work on it. And typically a prospect can expect to gain, like, 12 to 15 pounds while he's in college. So that's where I get that 195 number from.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I'm just saying, like, I mean, think about, you know, if you have been like, oh no, I'm all out on this Gibbs guy, like, he's, you know, right, he was probably like 185 coming out, or 190, whatever the hell he was, and like, I'm all out on him. So I don't want to miss on too many players just because of, like, a crazy threshold. Now, I'm not going to be like, oh, look at this Deuce Vaughn guy, like, he looks really good, you know, like, I don't want to get to that extreme. But I feel like maybe 185 for a running back, 190 coming out, I can still be on board. Every other position, I'm basically, like, I'm fine with. Like, you could be 140 pounds as a wide receiver coming out, and I'll be perfectly fine, because I would expect that you can gain 15, 20, 30 pounds, whatever, before it's all said and done, and be just fine. And even if you don't, I really don't care, because look at Devontae Smith. Dude is a baller, and he is a teeny tiny man.
Awesome. Great show, guys. Just thank everybody for watching. Like I said, hit subscribe, leave us reviews. That is what helps us out the most. Let us know what we're doing right. Let us know what we're doing wrong. And I challenge anyone out there to find a show that puts out more content than what the Full Tilt Podcast Network does. Every single day, giving you all stuff, have shows or at least some sort of review coming out at least 4 days a week. Make sure you all are checking it out, hitting subscribe, going to truenorthffb.com/fulltilt to find a central location for all of our fun stuff. Like I said, check out our YouTube.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lucas, for all that you do. You're doing a smash job there. But we're going to go ahead and get out of here. See you guys.